Good. And for those dear ladies that are providing those refreshments afterwards, aren't those delightful? I really appreciate them. And they're down there working away early, as usual, so they'll be ready for the rest of us whenever we're ready for it. So this is the third of the four classes of the Christian Life and Witness course, and next week, or next Thursday night, will be our last class. That'll be 3 days from now. Do we have anyone here for the first time? Good, wonderful. And do all of you have the course book and materials that came in the little paper bag? Anyone who does not, hold up your hand. Okay, there's one on the back, sir, if you could help that lady. And how many of you brought your course book back? Did everyone bring their course book? Good. Glad to know that. Now, you should have some materials with you tonight, and I hope that you brought your entire packet, and that is a mistake that I've made in not telling you to do that each time, because this particular session we need to have some special materials as we cover some basic training in sharing your faith. And you should each have a copy of Steps to Peace with God. Is there anyone who does not have a copy of the Steps to Peace with God with them? Okay. Hold them up high now, folks. Now, if you don't have them, hold your hand up. If you don't have the Steps to Peace, hold up your hand. And Cyril's got some extra copies. He's going to bring them around. Now, also, you should have a copy of the My Commitment folder, which is this little tan copy with the blue writing on the top says My Commitment. Now, let me see your hand if you do not have My Commitment with you. All right. Good. Now, I think what we'll have to do on that, Cyril, is pass out our extra copies of... if you'll hold up your hand if you do not have My Commitment, please. Okay, we have three up here. We do have a few extra My Commitment folders, and for those of you we don't have extra copies for, we'll just give you a new set of materials, and when you're through using that tonight, you can just put it back in the brown bag, and that'll be available for somebody else. All right? And then also at home, you should have a copy of Born to Reproduce and a counselor application form. I want you to all fill that out and bring it back next week, and we'll be here a few minutes early. Pastor and I will be here. Come in. The pastor and I will be here, and we'll take up your applications. And we'll stay late if you don't have them ready or are not able to get here on time so that you can counsel in the crusade. Now, also tonight, we'll be making an offering to the crusade. And so if you don't have an offering envelope, if you'll hold up your hand, we have some extra of those in the box. Is there anyone who does not have their offering envelope with them? Okay, we have one, two, three, four, five folks over here on the right. Cyril, if you could just pass those out, I'd sure appreciate that. And this offering will go to support the Island Mission Crusade. So you give as you feel led. Don't give what would normally go to your church. This would be an offering above your normal giving. And let me encourage you to support that crusade. You know, when we give our money, we give part of our life because we invested our life in getting that money. And so that's a way that we share in what's going on by giving our life for others, that they might come to know Christ. All right, does everyone have all the material, or do you think you have all the material? Is anyone who does not think they have some material that they will need? Very good. Now, how many of you have your counselor application with you? Okay? All right, good. Turn over on the back pages to page 2, and questions 15 and 16 say, what was God's remedy to this problem? Princess, how is Christ the solution to the problem? And 16, if someone were to ask you, what steps must I take to become a Christian, what would you say? And when you answer these questions, give us a scripture reference, if you will. But give us more than a scripture reference here. Give us an explanation of the answer to that question. And then on the front side, on questions 7, 8, and 9, because we're doing an accelerated version of this course, that is to say we're doing two classes a week, there's not time to have all the homework done by the time we get to the end of class 4. So if you want to counsel in the crusade, you can commit yourself to complete the homework by writing in where it says, I have completed Bible study assignments, I have memorized all the verses. If you intend to do that, but because we are accelerating our course, you haven't had time to do it, just put down on there, I will memorize, I will complete the Bible study, and we will just accept your commitment to do that. All right, so fill out your counselor application, come back next week and turn it in. Now, we don't want you to turn in if God doesn't want you to. We only want the counselors that God wants. And so I know you believe in the will of God, and all we want you to do is pray and say, Father, do you want me to counsel in the crusade? Or do you want me to qualify as a counselor? Do you want me to turn in my application? And we want you to do what God tells you. So whatever he says, you do that. But whether you're going to turn in your counselor application or not, you come back, because next session will be a session on follow-up. And Billy Graham has one of the best little follow-up tools. It's the little green Living in Christ. And we're going to cover that material in session 4. And that'll be a help to you. Even if you do not counsel in the crusade, you'll be able to use that in your local church. And that'll be a help. By the way, qualifying as a counselor doesn't commit you to anything at all. You're not committed to anything at all. It only qualifies you to be a counselor. Okay, so there's no commitment there. It just qualifies you to be a counselor. Some of you may be saying, well, I'm not going to fill this out because I'm not qualified. Well, the best way to find that out is to fill it out, turn it in, and let us tell you whether you're qualified or not. Okay, so come back next week and turn in your counselor application after you've prayed and decided what God wants you to do. Now, I think we may have mentioned this before, but the people who want to counsel in the crusade will need to go to a 5th class. It will be either Monday, August 17th, or Tuesday, August 18th, and that'll be a 5th class for those who want to counsel in the crusade. It'll be held August 23rd to 30th, which is on our slide. Just in case you don't have that information, you might want to put it down in your book somewhere so you'll know exactly where things are happening and when they're happening, and you can begin to pray for friends and neighbors and associates around you and invite them to come with you to the crusade. All right. Now, the fellow I had with me last week, Rich Smith, went home and went back to work today, and I got to stay behind and visit with you folks for another couple of sessions. And my wife and daughter flew in Friday night, and I have the privilege of having my wife, Sally. Sweetheart, why don't you stand? And my daughter, Julie. Julie's 12. Sally's 29. And I'm 28. Okay. Now, how many of you have worked on the memory verses? Let's turn over to our memory verses, and let's see if we can quote them without our book. And I hope that you can. Let's all stand up, and we'll work on the memory verses in the order that that they go. And we'll do the King James first. Do we have any NIV memorizers in here? Let me see your hand if you're memorizing NIV. Okay. After we've done the King James, I'll read the NIV so you can have a chance to quote. We'll begin with Romans 3:23. Man is sinful, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Very good. Remember, we're going to say the topic and the reference and the verse and the reference, and we say the reference twice as much as we do the verse because it's twice as hard to remember. All right, now let's do Romans 6:23. Sin has a penalty. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Okay, very good. Now we'll do Christ paid the penalty. And that's Romans 5:8. Christ paid the penalty. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Very good. Now, salvation, a free gift. Salvation, a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Very good. Now we'll do the NIV, and I'll just read, and you folks that are quoting NIV can just quote. Okay, here we go with Romans 3:23. Man is sinful, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, NIV. All right? Sin has a penalty. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23, NIV. All right. Christ paid the penalty, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. And salvation, a free gift, Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Now for next time, I want you to work on John 1, 12 and Revelation 3, 20. Let's read those together in the King James. John 1, 12. We must receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, 12. And Christ is at the door. Revelation 3, 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3, 20. Okay, very good. You may be seated. By the way, don't try to memorize in two translations. Pick the one you like and memorize it word for word, word perfect. But don't try to memorize it in another translation later, because you won't have it in either one. You'll just get it all mixed up, and I've done that, and I just pass that along for experience. But it is best to stick with one or the other and choose the one you like the best. I try to read through a different translation of the Bible each year, and consequently, I've got verses in all kinds of translations, and they bless my heart, and if God speaks to me out of them, why, I memorize them. I'm sure you folks know that the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and those are static or dead languages. That is to say that they're not changing, but the English language is changing all the time, and consequently we need new translations that speak in modern-day terms to people that are not familiar with King James English. Now, maybe everyone around here is familiar with King James English, but in a lot of places they're not. Okay, good. Now let's check on the home study completion, and we'll have a volunteer or two share their answers. Let's turn to page 22, if you will. Page 22, where we had a home assignment, Bible study. And someone stand up and share with us their answer to question 4, which says, explain how you can consistently walk on God's pathway. Would someone share that, their answer to question 4? Any brave souls out there? Yes, sir. Pardon me. Obedience to God. Very good. Thank you. All right, how about question 5 on page 23? What does the wheel diagram illustrate? Anyone get that answered? Amen. Thank you very much, ma'am. All right, question 7 on page 23. How can you best demonstrate that Jesus Christ is your Lord and that you love him? Question 7. Some brave soul, share that with us. Amen, brother. Thank you very much. Very good. Okay, did anyone have a morning quiet time for the first time? If you did, let me see your hand. Anyone have a morning quiet time for the first time? No, as a result, since the last class, for the first time since the last class? Anyone get started in their morning quiet time for the first time since the last class? Okay, very good. Yes. Well, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. And I'm sure you found that to be a blessing in your life. For next time, I want you to read Born to Reproduce. And we're giving you a copy of that, and it'll be in your materials at home if you don't have it with you tonight. And I want you to read it. And it's a booklet about spiritual fruitfulness and about how the Lord intended for all of his children to reproduce spiritually and bear spiritual children just like we bear physical children. And in here, there are three reasons given why people don't bear spiritual children. That is to say, they're not able to lead others to Christ. And so this book gives three reasons for the problem. And so I would encourage you to read that and ask the Lord, Lord, am I spiritually sterile? And if so, why? And let the Lord speak to your heart out of that. It's a tremendous booklet, a classic in the Christian faith. It's also changed my life and what I'm giving my life to. And it's a book that talks about the fact that we don't just need more evangelistic revivals. What we need is people just like you, committed people, people who will come and be trained, who will be willing to share their faith and live the life before their friends and neighbors and reach others, because we've got to multiply the laborers if we're going to reach our communities. There's not enough preachers to do it. Okay, they're working as hard as they can, and we've got to give them a pat on the back, but the facts are they just can't reach everybody. There are some people they couldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, but you can reach them because you're out there with them day by day. So God will put his hand on you if you'll let him. Now, do you have faith in the power and sovereignty of God? Do you? Do you believe he can use you in spite of your weakness and inadequacy? Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. Do you believe the Holy Spirit will guide you and make you courageous and help you in your walk and work effectively in the lives of others? Do you believe that? Okay. Then fill out your counselor application. You've said everything necessary to be a counselor. Got you, didn't I? Okay, now let's look at our assignment for session four. If I can find my course book. There it is. Page 31. Page 31. Home assignment for lesson three. Complete the following study and project. That's the Bible study on pages 31 and 32. And then memorize Revelation 3:20 and John 1:12, which we've already started. And read Born to Reproduce. And then we're going to ask you to share the Steps to Peace with God. That is the project. And if you'll turn over to page 32. Pray for two people this week with whom you might share Steps to Peace with God. We're going to talk about how to share that tract. Now, sometimes you may not have boldness enough to share it right off the bat, but you can give it away. And sometimes God gives us opportunity, and sometimes he doesn't. We've had a number of friendly people ask us what we're doing here, and this afternoon a lady over at the cleaners asked me what I was doing in town, and it took me a while to kind of get ready for this one, but I told her that we were part of the Island Mission Crusade and told her that what we were doing and that kind of thing. And she said, yes, she had heard about that and sort of changed the subject to the cleaning bill. And I said, well, now, where are you going to church? And she told me she was going to a church. And I said, well, I want to invite you to the crusade and I hope you can make it, August 23rd to 30th. But if not, let me give you a little booklet called Steps to Peace with God that will have the same message in it that Dr. White will be speaking about in August. And so she took it. And so that's just one way that you can give away a Steps to Peace with God to somebody who may need it. But you'll probably come up with a more creative way than that. So just ask God for an idea, and we're going to talk about that. All right. Now turn, if you will, to page 25, and we're going to talk this evening about our witness. And we're giving you two excellent tools to use, and then we're going to introduce you to our basic icebreaker for the crusade called My Commitment. And I want to review for you some principles about witnessing before we get into the witnessing tools. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3 says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. I'll read that for you out of the New American Standard, which is a translation I like, not because it's American, but because it sort of just speaks to me. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3 says, you are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You see, you're a letter. You're a letter from Jesus to the people around you. And a letter isn't written with pen and ink. It's written on your heart. Because your life has been changed through the Savior. Okay? So you're a letter. Now, you don't have to be perfect or mature before God can use you, but you do need to be clean. And that's why we spend so much time talking about the cleansed life and the restoration road and how to get back on God's pathway. And so for the first two lessons, we talked about the daily cleansed walk through confession and forsaking sin. And so I'm not trying to just give you more knowledge, but what I want to give you in this course is encouragement to practice these things, these basics, so that they will give you the power to witness, because God just needs a clean life, a clean vessel for his power, and he has all the power he needs, but he wants a vessel through whom that power can flow, and all it needs to be is one that's clean, confessed up, on his road, walking his pathway, fully committed to him without any reservations. Now, we can earn the right to be heard by sincerely listening to others. Jesus was a friend of sinners, and in Luke 15, 1 and 2, it says, now all the tax gatherers and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with him. You know, we need to be friendly and concerned with those who don't know Christ, and that doesn't mean we have to take on their lifestyle. We don't need to get so friendly that we start living the way they do. That's not the idea. But at the same time, we don't have to communicate condemnation. We can communicate God's love and realize that but for the grace of God, we'd be like that too. were it not for the fact that somebody reached us with the gospel and that Christ came in and changed us, we'd probably be, I know in many cases I'd be living like some of those people live, that I don't approve their lifestyle, but God loves them. He died for them. And so Jesus was concerned about those whom the religious organizations called sinners. And he sat with them and he ate with them and they loved him. And by his attitude, they perceived that. And then he prepared their hearts to receive him by the way he treated them. So we need to present the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said, if you're not talking about Jesus when you're witnessing, you're off the subject. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And sometimes we can get caught up in talking about other things. We need to emphasize the love of God as we're sharing Christ. John 3:16 is a verse we all quoted the first night. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there's a whole generation of people out there that don't know that. They didn't come up in church. They're out there looking for satisfaction and fulfillment through some other means. They really don't know. And that's one of the devil's great lies, is that people really don't want to hear. They really don't want to hear the gospel. That's what the devil's saying. But they really do. The Bible says, all men seek for thee. And in every man's heart, there's a God-shaped vacuum. He may not be ready to receive you every time you talk to him, but there's something there, and God loves him, and he has a need. And then we need to keep it simple. You know, the devil will do anything to get you off track, including theological arguments. Don't get yourself drawn into theological arguments about theology or which church is right or any of those things. If you stay on the subject, you'll be sharing the gospel of Christ. And let the theology work itself out later. Don't get sidetracked into arguments. I used to do that. But, you know, we're giving you a lot of aids to witnessing, how to answer intellectual questions, and over here we talked about what Paul Little had and then how to answer questions on major religions from the Scripture, and that's good. We should learn those. But remember, you cannot argue anyone intellectually into the kingdom of God. You cannot do that. It simply doesn't work. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:1-2, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now in Romans 1:16, there's a great truth. Let's read that together. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Romans 1:16. I think that's the New International. You know, the power is in the gospel. It's not in the messenger boy. Yes, we have God's power in us, and that gives us the power to share it. But the power unto salvation is in the gospel of Christ. That's where it's at. The gospel is inherently powerful. And so we need to be sure that we share the gospel when we have an opportunity. It's his work. You know, we're the messengers, but John 16:8 says, when he comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convince or convict men of sin and righteousness and of judgment. So whenever we share the gospel, the Holy Spirit's saying, that's right, remember that stuff you did? And where are you going to get forgiveness? And what's your choice? And the Holy Spirit will be talking to this person. We don't have to embellish it too much. We share the gospel, the Holy Spirit will speak to people's hearts. You know, when we try to force the work of the Holy Spirit and pressure people to receive Christ, we may be picking green fruit. You can pick green fruit, and it doesn't ever ripen. Somebody said if you force people to respond before they're ready, you sort of just give them an inoculation against the real disease. Okay? There's a timing. There's a work that the Holy Spirit's doing. We come into the picture, and we don't really know where we are. We may be sowing the seed. We may be watering the seed. Or it may be time to reap the fruit. 1 Corinthians talks about this, and also Mark. Mark 4:26-27, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed upon the ground and should sleep and rise, and the seed should sprout and grow. He knows not how. How many of you have ever planted a seed? Anybody in here who, I'm sure everyone in here has planted a seed. So you put the seed in the ground, and you know it's going to come up, but you go to bed and you get up, and a week goes by, and the seed sprouts and grow. Do you know how it happened? You don't know how it happened. Neither do the experts. They don't know how it happens. A whole study of seeds, and they think they know why that life's in that seed, but you know, this is the way it is with the gospel. So We sow the seed. One time I was involved in a campus ministry where we did a lot of witnessing, and I'd go out and I would share the gospel with people and I'd get involved. But no one prayed to receive Christ, and I was pretty discouraged. And I was driving along the road one day, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and he said, "Would you be willing to sow the seed for me from now on and never see any fruit if that was my will for you?" And so I had to bow my knee and say, "Yes, Lord, I would. I'd be willing to sow the seed from now on, believing you'll take it and use it if I never see any fruit." But let me assure you, friends, if you faithfully sow the seed of the gospel, you will get a chance to reap some fruit, because the gospel bears fruit. But it sometimes just takes time, just like that seed. You put that seed in the ground, and it's going to be a while before that seed gestates and germinates, and then pretty soon it sprouts, and pretty soon it grows, and it's going to take a while to bear some fruit. So don't try to rush things too much. 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7, Paul wrote, and he said, he planted the seed. Apollos watered. Apollos came along, he preached at these people. Paul had planted the seed of the gospel, he preached at them. But God gave the increase. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the increase or the growth. You see, it's God that does the work. And so we're just a part of the picture, and each person has somebody who's come along and sown the seed in their life and then watered it, and then it's grown. Okay? In John 4, 36 and 37, Jesus said, "He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." So sometimes we go along and we get a chance to reap the fruit. And we think, wow, isn't that something? You know, I shared the gospel and this guy came to Christ. But in most cases, if you go back and check, you'll find out that there was some sowing done before. Or maybe there's a little grandmother out there that's been praying for this boy. But something happened out there before I got there, in most cases. Okay. Sowing and reaping. You know, that verse says, when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. What happens when you don't pick fruit when it's ripe? Somebody tell me. It rots. That's right. It sure does. So when the time is ripe, we need to learn how to reap the fruit. And there's a gracious way to do that. We're going to talk about it a little later. So, but if we're sharing the gospel and people put up a defense, or they say no, then I just back off. Let the Holy Spirit work in their life, and I pray, and I wait. Now, the first time anybody took me out to do personal evangelism, I went for the jugular. I nearly had the guy down on the floor trying to choke him into getting saved. But fortunately, the fellow had enough insight to pull me off, and I didn't totally destroy our testimony. But evangelism is a skill that you can learn. It's like driving a car. Sometimes we get hung up on just letting the Holy Spirit lead, and sometimes that's just an excuse for lack of preparation. If I needed to drive to Charlottetown and I wanted to minister over there and I'd never driven, but I got in the car and said, well, I'm just going to trust God and let the Holy Spirit lead me, and I just got in the car and I'd never driven, I'd probably run off the road and kill myself. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit can lead me just as well if I take some driver's education and learn how to drive and then say, now under the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I want to drive this car. And that's the way evangelism is. We can practice evangelism. We can learn the verses. We can learn how to do these things. We can learn how to present it. And that's just preparation. Ephesians 6 talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We can learn how to do it. And then under the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be a sharp threshing instrument to be used in God's kingdom. And so that's part of what we're going to do tonight. We're going to learn how to do it. Now, I'm not trying to minimize the Holy Spirit's work, but I want you to know that you do need to get prepared. Now, how many people here feel that they might have the gift of evangelism? Okay? I don't see any hands out there. I don't have the gift of evangelism. At least, to the best of my knowledge, I don't. Now, Dr. Graham has the gift of evangelism. Franklin Graham, Dr. White, the men that will be preaching to you, when they preach, hundreds get saved. But that doesn't relieve you and I of the responsibility to be witnesses and sharing our faith, the fact that we don't have the gift. So don't make the mistake of thinking that because you don't have the gift, you don't have the responsibility. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. We are to be Christ's witnesses. It is your responsibility to reach your community. It's my responsibility to reach my community. That doesn't mean I have to reach everyone, but God has put me responsible for some of the people around me. So we need to accept the responsibility God's placed on us, even though we do not have gifts. And normally, the gift would be indicated by a lot more response, okay? So, but you can still sow the seed, water the seed, and reap the fruit. Okay, let's stand up for just a moment and have a word of prayer. And we're going to pray that God would make us sensitive to the opportunities around us. You have friends, you have neighbors, you have associates, you know people in stores. So we're going to ask God to give us sensitivity to those opportunities. Let's pray. Father, I do pray for myself and for these dear brothers and sisters. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord, and their desire and their heart to want to walk with you and to bear fruit and to share their faith with others. How I pray, Lord, for them and for myself that you'd give us just sensitivity to the opportunities that are already around us, Lord. There are people who are hungry, who need to know, who are lost and dying and on their way to an eternal hell. And so, Lord, I pray for us that we would have sensitivity to the opportunities you've already put in our lives. And then, Lord, that we would be getting prepared, Lord, with your word and with a method that will free us up, that the Holy Spirit might use us. And then, Lord, I pray for boldness. Lord, that we might have not brashness or rudeness, but that we might be bold and willing to graciously open our mouth in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray this not for ourselves, really. Lord, we pray it for your glory and in your name. Amen. Be seated. Now, there are a number of good ways to open the conversation about the Lord, and I found that here are some if you want to copy them down. A few questions. But I found that people love to talk about themselves, and they love to talk about what they think. Have you noticed that? And I find that I can just begin asking people questions, and they'll go on for hours sometimes talking about what they think and what they believe and about their own life. And so here are some questions that sort of open up the subject. Some are a little bit more direct than others. Here's one that I like. By the way, what's your religious background? And sometimes I'll get to that question by going around to, where are you from? Where'd you grow up? Oh, is that right? And how large was your family? Well, that's interesting, you know. And, well, by the way, where's your family going to church these days? Or what's your religious background? Sometimes I ask them a further question. Have you always been a Presbyterian? Or have you always been a Catholic? Or have you always been a Baptist? And that tells me whether there's any recent interest. And they may say, no, I just joined the church 2 weeks ago. Well, I know something's happening in their life. And so I try to learn how to ask questions. Once I was sharing with Hamid, he's a Muslim shop owner, and I was talking to him, and the Lord opened the door there for us to talk a little bit, and I asked him some questions about what he believed and as a Muslim. And then I just asked him a question. The Lord gave me an idea. I said, do you know what the basic teaching of Christianity is? And he said, no, I don't. I said, could I just take about 5 minutes and share that with you? And he said, sure. So I pulled out my little Steps to Peace with God, which I always carry with me because I'm not loaded if I don't carry it. And I'm ready. I've got it there in my pocket. I pulled it out. I shared it with him. The man prayed to receive Christ. I was amazed. A few weeks ago, I was talking with a restaurant owner there in the shopping center that our company owns. And I asked him how things were going in his business. He said, well, my cook just quit, and he took off on me, and I said, well, that's interesting. He said, yeah, he said, he's a kid that I took in when he was 13. He said his parents moved away and left him, and he said, my fourth stepfather kicked me out when I was 15, and he said, I took this kid in, and I've tried every way I know how to help him for 5 years, and now he's gone, and boy, he said, I'm just bitter. I said, well, don't be bitter, and so we talked a little further, and the guy began to pour out his heart. And I finally got around to saying, well, it sounds to me like you've got some spiritual problems, too. And he said, yeah, I think so. I said, what's your spiritual background? He said, well, I was raised in the Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, oh, that's interesting. He says, but I'm not one of those anymore. He says, but I know what I believe. I said, oh, that's good. I said, well, what do you believe? He said, well, he says, I don't believe it's wrong to dance. And I said, well, that's interesting. See, that's one of those side issues you can get off and argue on. So I just let that one go right on by. And I said, finally got around to the point where I said, well, look, could I share with you just what the Bible says about what a real Christian is? And he said, sure. And so I pulled out my Steps to Peace with God, and all I did was read through it. Got over toward the end, and the guy started weeping. He said, "Where did you get this?" I said, "Well," he said, "it's put out by Dr. Graham here." He says, "I've never heard this." He said, "Oh," he said, "this is tremendous." He said, "I can't believe this." And so we went along there, you know, and we got to the end, and here the guy is crying, and I said, "Well, look," I said, "you know, I don't want to keep you from making this decision. Would you like to make it right now?" He says, "I'll tell you what I'd like to do is I'd like to share this with my wife." I thought, oh, you know, there I thought, you know, the guy was about to come into the kingdom. I said, "Well, great, I think you should. Share it with your wife." But I said, "You know, sharing it with your wife is not going to make the decision for you. You're going to have to make that decision yourself." He said, "Yeah, I know that." Well, so I left it with him. And I saw him two or three times after that, but the Lord never gave the freedom to talk to him about it. Until the last day before I left on this trip, I thought, well, I'm just going to stop by and see how he's doing. And so I just asked him point blank. I said, "John, have you prayed the prayer in the little booklet I gave you?" He said, "Yes." I said, "When did you do it?" He said, "2 days after you shared it with me." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, tell me about it." He said, "Well, I was in there." He said, "My wife came in." She said, "Who are you talking to?" I said, "Well, I'm just talking to the TV." And so, you know, I shared some things with him about assurance of salvation. And but God works. See, it's his timing. Sometimes it's right. Sometimes it's wait. So these are some questions. Here's a few more. One I like is known as an EE question. It says, "Have you come to the place..." This is not really the question. I'll show it to you in the book when we get there. But it says this: "If you died tonight and found yourself standing before God, and he said to you, 'Why should I let you into my heaven?' what would you say?" And that'll always tell you where people are coming from. And 98% of the people in the world will say, "Well, I was sincere." Or, "He'll know I did my best." Or, "Well, you know, I'm not as bad as most people." And you know they're coming from a works perspective. I say, well, you know, 98% of the world believe that. But that's not what the Bible says. Can I share with you what the Bible says? And in most cases, they'll let me. Because I'm not trying to sell them anything. I don't have any church to join. I just want to simply share the gospel of Christ and help them come to know the Lord. We'll handle all that other stuff after that. Do that in the follow-up. Okay. Well, experience is a great teacher. But it's always a spiritual battle to get into the subject. When the Holy Spirit begins to say you ought to talk to this guy, you'll find yourself getting a little sweaty and getting a little weak in the knees. But that's the spiritual battle, and you can learn to overcome that. Well, let's talk about the facts of the gospel. What does the gospel mean? The gospel means good news. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. After 3 days, he came victorious out of that tomb. And folks, that is the gospel of Christ. Now, there's a difference between soul winning and counseling. In soul winning, you're on your own as to where you begin and when you quit. But in counseling, you begin where the evangelist leaves off. And in soul winning, I give the facts, but in counseling, the evangelist gives the facts. Now, you've got four words on the top of page 27. If you will, let's turn over there. Page 27. Share facts, invite, pray, and confirm. Under share the facts, you can write Romans 1:16. He shares the gospel. He also gives the invitation or invites people to come forward. And John 1:12 is a verse that will go under there. He also will pray with the people. He will say, "Now that you've come forward, I want to have a word of prayer with you." And he'll gather them up there, and the rest of the folks will be leaving the auditorium. And then he will have a prayer of commitment. It'll sound like the one that you've got in the back of your Steps to Peace with God. It's what we call the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer. And he'll have the prayer with them. Now, this last one is confirm. And 1 John 5:11-12 says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." 1 John 5:11-12 goes right under confirm. So the evangelist gives the facts and the invitation, and then we will be involved in what we call confirming or giving people assurance of salvation. This is where the counseling begins, when the invitation and prayer have been done in the crusade. Now, if you will, take out a copy of the Steps to Peace with God, and I want you to get a really good grasp of how to share your faith with this tract. This was not necessarily meant to give away. I will give it away if that's the only thing I can do with it. It was meant to be presented and to be read through. And sometimes you feel a little silly reading through things, but remember, you're reading the precious truth of the gospel of Christ when you read this, and it will get people's attention. Now, has everybody got a copy of Steps to Peace? Okay, pull that out, all right? This is the track I like the best of all the ones I've seen. And it's not because I work for Billy Graham, because I don't work for Billy Graham. I'm a layman. I work for a real estate company in Oklahoma City. But this is the best tract I've ever used. It's not too short. It's not too long. I try to always carry one. All you have to do is take it and read it and ask a few questions. You know, a while back I was invited to share my testimony in the gospel in a fraternity house. They said, you got 20 minutes. This was in a fraternity house at the university down in Oklahoma. So we'll give you 20 minutes. I said, okay, and I had about 45 young men there. And I said, gave a few words of testimony. I put copies of these on the table. I said, would you please pick up one of those? Now we're going to read through it. We read through it, simple reading, got to the end. I said, if you want to pray that prayer, pray with me. After we got through, 10 men out of 45 indicated they'd prayed to receive Christ. That's the power of the gospel. Now, I'm not telling you that so you'll think I'm a great evangelist, because I'm not a great evangelist. The power is in the gospel, and God will work through your life if you're a cleansed vessel and you share the gospel. And so this is a powerful little tract. And get to know the tool. Use it under the direction and power of the Holy Spirit. And you realize it's very simple to lead someone to Christ. In fact, we have very, very little to do with it. We really do. And that's because He's doing it and not us. Now let's open it up to step one on the inside cover. We're giving you two copies. And if you want to write on one, well, you can take notes on that. And I want you to give the other one away sometime between now and Thursday night if possible. So you could say something to someone like, I'm taking a Billy Graham course at the church, and I wonder if I could get your reaction. And they say yes. And you say, well, this is called Steps to Peace with God. And step one is that God's purpose is peace and life. God loves you and wants you to experience peace and life, abundant and eternal. Now, the Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. And John 3:16 in the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now circle that word whoever with your pencil and say, you know what that means? You could put your name in there. That's a very personal verse. And so you may be talking to Bill and you say, what this verse really says, Bill, is for God so loved Bill that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Bill believes in Him, he should not perish but have everlasting life. And just say, you know, Bill, if you were the only person that ever believed in Jesus, He would have come and died for you. Very personal verse. And then John 10:10 in the Bible says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I don't know how it is up in Prince Edward Island, but down in Oklahoma, some people don't know what abundantly means. So I say, you know what this word abundantly means? And some people say, well, I'm not sure. I say, well, that means a whole lot of it. Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have a whole lot of life. That's what He wants you to have. So, since God planned for us to have peace and the abundant life right now, why are most people not having this experience? Why do you folks think? Okay. Well, whatever they say, somebody give me an answer. Why do you think they're not having this experience if you haven't looked at the next page? Anybody got an idea? I'm sorry? Crime. Okay, good. So whatever they say, just say, well, that's interesting. And just turn the page. Okay, because you're playing a guessing game, and they don't know what's on the next page. So you say, well, that's right, that's excellent. Crime is a result of the problem that's more basic than that, and that is our problem is separation from God. Step two, our problem is separation. God created us in His own image to have an abundant life. He did not make us as robots to automatically love Him and obey Him, but He gave us a will and a freedom of choice. We chose to disobey God and go our own willful way, and we still make this choice today. And this results in separation from God. And here we have a picture of that on the right. Man is sinful. He's on one side. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Does that sound familiar? It's one of those verses for this week, isn't it? And God is on the other side, and He's holy. And man and God are separated by a bottomless chasm. And the Bible says the penalty for our sin, the wages that it bears, is death. And that's spiritual death, eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, and our choice results in separation from God. Now, man realizes this. Go ahead and turn the page. Most men men realize that there's something beyond the grave. They do. And so what man does is he tries to cross that bridge to God so that he'll be ready when he dies. And he tries a lot of things. Sometimes he says, I'm going to try good works. And he says, I'm going to do the best I can. Other people say religion. I'm going to join me a church. And maybe that'll get me across to God's side. Other people think education. Well, I'm going to go back and get me a PhD in philosophy. Still others say, well, I'm going to try my best to keep the Ten Commandments, and I'll call that morality. But the Bible says that all of these fall short in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, penalty for our sin and bridging the gap from God to man. The Bible says God is on one side and all the people on the other side, and Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them to bring them together. The Bible also says that Christ suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's why he suffered, so that he might bring us to God. Some people say, well, if God loves me, why would he send me to hell? Romans 5, 8 says, but God demonstrates or proves or shows his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did that while we were before we were ever born. Well, God has provided the only way, and we must make the choice. And we can see in this diagram that Christ has bridged this gap between man and God. Step four, our final step, is each person must make a response. And our response is to receive Christ. We must trust Jesus Christ and receive him by personal invitation. Jesus is a gentleman. He will not force his way into your life. He'll let you go to hell before he forces his way into your life. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. The Bible promises, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And there's a promise in Romans 10:9 that says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now we see our picture again. Man is on one side with sin and rebellion and separation from God. And God is on the other side with peace and forgiveness and abundant life and eternal life. Christ is in the middle, bridging the gap between God and man, providing a way for man to cross, to be forgiven and in fellowship with God. And this is a very, very critical time in sharing this particular illustration. And this is the question you need to ask, and that is, where are you in this picture? Where are you in this picture? Let me ask you right now. Go ahead and make a mark as to where you are in this picture. Okay? Now, this is the time when the Holy Spirit begins to convict men and women of their needs. Because if they're honest, they will know where they are. Now, some people say, well, I'm way off here to the left. And some people say, well, I'm over here on the right. And if they say that, I say, well, tell me about that. How'd you get over there? Still others say, well, I'm on the bridge, but I'm not quite there, but I'm about three-fourths of the way across. When they say that, I say, well, wouldn't you like to be all the way over there? If you want to be all the way over there on God's side, turn the page, and I'll tell you, there's basically four things you must do to be on God's side. Down here, how to receive Christ. First is to admit your need, and that's to admit that you are a sinner and that you have a need of a Savior, and that is that you can't get there on your own. You need a Savior to get you there. Secondly, to be willing to turn from your sins, that is to repent. Now, to repent means to stop going your own way, your own willful way, and turn and go God's way. And there are a lot of people who have prayed little prayers. They may have even gone forward in a church, but they never repented of their sin. Jesus said in Luke 13:5, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Sometimes this is a reason for confusion. They wanted fire insurance policy. They want to get baptized so they can be sure they go to heaven, but live their life their own way. And God says, no, you need to repent of your sins. You need to use that term carefully, because you don't want to introduce any works into this thing. But we do need to let people know that they need to turn away from going their own way and go God's way. Third is to believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. And fourth, through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. That is to receive him as Lord and Savior. Then I tell folks, here's what you pray. If you could pray this from your heart and mean it, Christ would come into your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust you as Savior. Trust and follow you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, after sharing that information, I like to go back and I ask them, well, Bill, are you at the point of being willing to admit your need? And most people would agree they're a sinner. And I say, well, are you at that point of being willing to turn from your sins and stop going your own willful way and start going God's way? And then they say, now that's a different question. I say, yeah, that's right. That's a different question. And folks, let me just tell you, if a man or a woman is not willing to say, yes, I'm willing to stop going my own way and start going God's way, I don't take them into the prayer. I simply say, well, if you come to the point, if they say, nope, I'm not willing to do that, I say, if you ever come to the point of being willing to do it, be sure and get this little booklet out and read it. Can I leave it with you? I simply don't take them in to pray a prayer when they say, no, I'm not willing to stop going my own way. Third, I ask them, do you believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and rose again the third day? If they say yes, then I say, well, there's only one thing left to do. And that's simply pray to invite Christ. So let's pray. And I just bow my head and say, well, I'll pray, then you can pray after me. I did this not long ago with a Lebanese fellow. I said, Dear Lord Jesus, he didn't say anything. I know that I'm a sinner. He didn't say anything. I looked up. I said, you going to pray? He says, I'm praying. I said, okay. We got through. I said, did you pray? He said, yes. And the reason you want to ask him, if someone wants to pray silently, let him pray silently. But ask him. And the reason is Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. So you want to give him an opportunity to confess with your mouth that yes, they did pray that prayer. Then I asked him, I said, did you mean it from your heart? He says, I always mean what I pray. I said, okay. So you get different reactions. But just minister to people. That's the idea. Now, I'm not sure where we are in our notes here, but I know that we're at the point here where it could very well be that you came to this meeting tonight and you were not over on God's side and you'd like to be. And so I'd like for us to pray this prayer out loud, and you will have an opportunity to pray as we all pray together. And if that's the need of your heart, then you invite Christ into your life. And so let's just pray that prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, and you can just read it with me if you'd like. Let's read it together. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer tonight for the first time, knowing that you were crossing from man's side to God's side, be sure and tell somebody before you go to bed tonight. Tell somebody what you did. Okay, let's all stand up for a moment. Okay, folks, let's go ahead and be seated. I've had my nice cold glass of water that Patty brought me, so I'm ready to go again. You know, we're memorizing some scripture, and there's a way that you can share what we just shared in skeleton form by just knowing the verses that you're going to be memorizing, plus John 3:16. And this is called the Bridge to Life illustration. And if you'll turn over in your book to the same page we were on, where we had the evangelist sharing the facts, what page was that? Yeah, 27. You'll see the four steps to peace with God, God's plan, peace and life, our problem, separation, God's remedy, the cross, our response, receive Christ. That's not that hard to remember. And here it is for you up here, and you can copy that down on your book. But you can share this in an orderly manner and just begin by saying, you know, God has a plan for your life, and it's peace and life. And man is basically separated from God. But God's plan is that each person should have peace and life. God loves you. In fact, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved Bill that he gave his only begotten son, that if Bill should believe in him, Bill would not perish, but have everlasting life. So you can jot John 3:16 out beside step number one. And then go on to step two. But before you do that, draw that chasm picture. And say, you know, our problem is we're separated from God. People are on one side and God is on the other. We're separated because of our sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that man is sinful. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says there's a penalty that goes with that sin, and that penalty is found in Romans 6:23, where it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, most people know there's something beyond the grave, so each man tries to cross that gap on his own. Some people try good works. They're just going to live the best life they can and hope for the best, and maybe God will balance out the scales at the end. The good will outweigh the bad. Other people try religion. They think that joining a church or a religion will get them across, that all religions are the same. Or some people try philosophy. They think education. Others try morality. They just try to live with a certain code. And maybe it's the Ten Commandments or some other code. But the Bible says all these fall short because of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I like to ask people, "Do you know what the word grace means?" They say, something about balance, isn't it? She's graceful. And I said, "No, that's not it. Grace means something undeserved. Something undeserved. For by something undeserved are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Okay? And then step three. God's remedy was the cross. Christ paid the penalty, Romans 5:8, one of our verses for next week. "But God commendeth," or proved, or showed, "his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Okay, and so I show the cross there, and salvation, a free gift, is something we've already talked about there. You can draw that out on a piece of paper, notebook paper, or a napkin, or a sack. And then step four, our response is to receive Christ. John 10:9 is not one of our verses. That's been taken out of this course, but Revelation 3:20 has been put in its place. We must receive him. It's not enough that Christ died on the cross for our sins. We must receive him. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." So here are four things that a person needs to do, and you can memorize these. They're not that hard. We need to admit our need, be willing to turn from our sin and stop going our own way and go God's way. Third, to simply believe that Christ died on the cross for us and rose from the grave. And fourth, through prayer, invite him to come into our lives. And one of the things I've done that's helped me is I memorize the sinner's prayer. That way I don't have to look at the booklet. I can shut my eyes. I can lead somebody through it, and that's been a help to me through the years. So that is a way that you can draw out for yourself just by knowing the four steps plus the verses you're remembering plus those four things that a person needs to do. And you can share the bridge illustration without a Bible. All you need is a pen and a piece of paper. Okay? So that is the Bridge to Life illustration. It'll take a little practice, but I would encourage you to take both these tools and practice them with somebody else, a friend or a family member, and just go through it and role play back and forth. And sometimes you feel a little silly doing that, but the more practice you get, the more comfortable you'll be with it. Okay, now I want to want you to take out your offering envelope and also your Class 2 attendance slip. Don't put the attendance slip in the offering envelope. These two will be separate. Okay, that's over here on Class 3 attendance. I'm sorry, I said Class 2. Last white page in the book, fill out your name, age, date, and so on, except for the ladies. They don't have to fill out their age. And then also, if you would just prayerfully consider what you would like to contribute to the crusade. None of this money goes to me. It doesn't go to the pastor. It'll go to help pay for these materials that are paid for by the crusade. And it's your crusade. And so there will be expenses involved in both buying the materials and also in putting on the crusade. So fill out your offering envelope, if you will, above your normal giving to the church. And fill out your attendance slip. And I'm going to ask Brother Cyril to come up here and maybe one other man on the other side and kind of pick up these things the closest. Yes, we've got some envelopes. Sure do. When you got that filled out, don't put the attendance slip in the envelope. Pass them individually to the aisle. And when we get through, we'll get the pastor to count the money, and I'll take it back to Charlottetown for him. We're running just a tad behind, but I want to take the time the last few minutes to go through the My Commitment folder. I just love sharing the steps to peace with God so much that I kind of embellished it a little too much, and we were a little short on time. But as I told you, this is one of the most effective tools I've ever seen in sharing the gospel personally. And so I'm glad we spent the time on it. I think it'll be to your advantage down the road. Okay. Have we passed all those to the aisle? Let's get those passed to the aisle, and if we can get them picked up on both sides. And after you've passed those to the aisle, if you will, turn to page 29, which says, My Commitment, Instructions for Counselors. And take out the little tan folder. It says, My Commitment on the top. Page 29 in the course book, and this will be in your other materials, My Commitment. It's a little folder that will be used during the actual crusade. This can also be used in a local church, but it's a very helpful little booklet. We call it an icebreaker, and it helps you determine what a person's need is when they come forward in the crusade. Now, that need is illustrated by a story told about Billy Graham's cousin. He was counseling a few years ago, and this person came forward, and he prayed with Dr. Graham. This counselor engaged him, and he says he's trying to get to the person's need. He says, so what did you do today? Meaning, what kind of a decision did he make? He says, well, it being Sunday, I slept in, then I got me a good breakfast. And the cousin said, no, I mean, what decision did you make today? So you see, sometimes there's a problem. Down in Atlanta, there was a counselor struggling with a young boy, and he was trying to determine his spiritual condition. He says, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And the boy says, Cleveland, Ohio. He said, Cleveland, why Cleveland? He says, well, that's where I'm from. I'm only visiting here. Thank you. So this will help us determine what a person's need is. Now, if you're on page 29... you'll see it says, My Commitment, Instructions for Counselors. Introduce yourself to the inquirer and get the individual's name so that you can use it in conversation. Everybody likes to hear their own name. Hand the inquirer the commitment folder and let the person read and check the appropriate box. Now, as you read the front, you'll notice that there are several different choices there. The following statement best describes the action I'm taking. 1, I just personally accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. 2, I have accepted Jesus Christ personally as my Lord and Savior before, but A, I'm not sure. B, I failed and want to rededicate my life. C, I want to demonstrate my faith. Or 3, I want to know more about what it means to be a Christian. 4, I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior and want to talk about a special need that I have. Okay, now, let's go back to 1. Let's assume that this particular person checks box number 1. Notice it says pages 6 and 2. Now we'll turn over just like this, and we'll be at page 6. And so what we do here, if they check box 1, is we say, well, let me just review for you a few facts. Dr. White or Franklin Graham tonight preached about love and talked about how Christ died for our sins. And let's just review what he said here. Step 1 is to recognize God's plan is peace and life. The message you have just heard stressed that God loves you and wants you to experience His peace and life. Everybody with me? You know where I am? On the back of the My Commitment folder. Okay? This is where we are. How to receive Christ. And we'll just read through that with the inquirer. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Secondly, we need to realize our problem is separation. And we read through that, and then number 3, we must respond to God's remedy, which is the cross of Christ. And notice that man is separated from God in picture 2, and in picture 3, Christ bridges the gap between man and God. And 4th, we must receive Christ if we want to cross the bridge into God's family. So we just read through that material. Then we say this, the invitation was to repent, that is to turn from your sins, and by faith receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life and follow Him in obedience as your Lord and Savior. And then you want to ask this question. Is that what you did tonight, Bill, Joe, Mary? Is that the decision you made tonight? When you prayed with the evangelist, did you understand what you were saying and mean what you prayed? And if they say no, then you say, well, could we just go ahead and pray again right now? And let's just confirm that decision. Or if they show any doubt, they say, well, I was kind of distracted and I wanted to pray, but I couldn't hear very good. I say, well, Mary, why don't we just go ahead and just once again pray that prayer. And so you just lead them in the prayer of commitment down there at the bottom. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me now. Amen. See, you help them confirm that decision. You want to make sure that that's really, they understood the facts, and then they prayed the prayer from the heart. And I always try to make sure that. Did you mean that prayer when you prayed it from the heart? To the best of your knowledge. Don't want to get too analytical. Some people say, well, gee, you know, did I? Well, just say, to the best of your knowledge, you know, it doesn't. And so then if you establish the fact that they have prayed through and understand with the evangelist what they're doing, now you turn, it also says turn to page 2. So that's the one just on the inside flap. How to know what I have done. When you prayed with the evangelist, Mary, committing your life to Christ, what happened? Let's read this verse and it'll tell us. Jesus said, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Now let's look at question 1. Mary, what did Jesus say would do if you ask him in? Somebody tell me the answer. Come in. He said he'd come in. So, Mary, where is he right now? Where is he? In your heart. Right. And then the Bible also says to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So, Mary, what happened when you received him? Somebody tell me. Became a child of God. And now that you believe in Jesus Christ, according to John 3:16, what can you be certain of, Mary? You have eternal life, don't you? See how confirming that is for the person to say that out loud? Here's what the scripture says. That's what they did. Now they confirm it with their own mouth. They say, yes, I'm a child of God. He came in. He's in my life. Okay? So I normally like to read this on the left, and I ask them to read that on the right. And I say, now I'm going to read this on the left, and you read that on the right. So I say, Mary, how do you know you're saved? You're a child of God, and you have eternal life. And she reads, and she says, I know it because God said it in his word, the Bible. I believe it in my heart, and that settles it in my mind. And from there, we'll give them the follow-up material, which we'll go over next week. Okay, let's look back at page 1 again. And let's assume that the person checks box 2. I've accepted Jesus Christ personally as my Lord and Savior before, but I'm not sure. It would turn to page 3. That's the middle one inside. How to be sure that Christ has forgiven my sins. Okay, and so we'll just read through that. We'll read, if you committed your life to Christ, what does this guarantee? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, Bill, according to this verse, what did God give to make eternal life for you possible? And as he reads off the answer, or if he gives his answer, I write it in there. He says, his Son. So what must you do to have eternal life, Bill? Believe. Bill, what does believe mean? Well, it means to trust. Just as you would trust your weight on a bridge, as you would step out onto that bridge and walk across, it's holding you up, so it is to have faith in Christ. And what does God promise you, Bill? Eternal life. So work down through that, make sure that you know the answers, and this is what we use to help people, if they have actually prayed the prayer, to be sure that their sin has been forgiven. Now, sometimes you may decide it hasn't, and they're not sure, and so we can review the facts on the back again, take through the same procedure. All right, let's look back at page 1 again. And let's assume that they check box 2B. I have failed and want to rededicate my life. Now turn to page 4, and notice there the illustration that we covered last session on the restoration road, God's way, man's way. How to come back to Christ. Recognizing you have failed, you are sorry, and you're ready to come back. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So, Bill, what must we do to be forgiven? Someone tell me. Confess our sins. What does God say he will do if we confess? He'll forgive us, won't he? Confess means to agree with God. I lied, I cheated, I was unkind, I lost my temper. Right now, Bill, be specific with God and silently confess your sin to him. And then steps to follow confession. We covered this last week, Proverbs 28:13, last time. He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoso confesses and renounces them finds mercy. To renounce means to give up completely. What happens if we cover our sins, Bill? Somebody tell me. We won't prosper, will we? We won't prosper spiritually. That's right. Following confession, we must do what? Okay. Must forsake it in our heart, right? Okay? Very good. So that's how we deal with a person. And again, I'm going through this pretty quickly, but I want to encourage you to get to know this if you're going to Counseling the Crusade, because this will be your main tool. Now, in 2C, I want to demonstrate my faith. And that says, it talks about, there's no page there. Okay. There's no page there, and the reason is because if a person says, I have received Christ, and I know that I'm a Christian, but I want to demonstrate my faith, then we present to them the follow-up material and how they can walk with God. And these are all covered now on pages 29 and 30, what to do. So you won't have to remember everything I tell you. It's keyed on the front, and then on page 29 and 30, in fact, question number 5 on number 30, or statement number 5 on page 30, if the inquirer checks statement 2C is certain that Jesus Christ is his or her personal Savior, share the follow-up literature. Now, here's what I want you to do. Take and write the word when on number 2. No matter what they check on number 2, always ask them when, because they're saying they've received Christ. Just ask them when and make sure you're getting a good testimony. So, well, I asked a guy one time. He was a Christian. He says, yes. I said, well, when did you become a Christian? He says, well, he says, I was baptized when I was 8 days old, and I've been one ever since. And so, I mean, he was sincere, but he obviously didn't know the facts. Okay. All right, number 3. If they check number 3, I want to know more about what it means to be a Christian, pages 5 and 6. So turn to page 5 there, and it says how to find out more. And the instructions in your book on page 30 will tell you, read item 1 and 2, and then go over and share all that's on page 6, which is the gospel. And if they're not ready to receive the Lord, go back to page 5, and here are some suggestions for them on number 3. They can complete a Bible study. They can begin to read the Word. They can pray and ask God to reveal Himself to them, ask others to help them. Okay, some people are not going to be ready, but they're going to want to know more, like my friend did. Okay, so get them into the Word. That's the idea. All right, and then number 4 says, I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior and want to talk about a special need that I have. Now, if somebody checks that, you might just ask them what the need is. And if you can handle it, if you have some point of identification, and by the way, God matches up the counselors with the inquirers. Many times you will find the very person that you're counseling is hurting where you have hurt in the past, and God has built something into your life that gives you some special way to help them. But we also want to be very frank and honest here. There's a lot of battered people out there. There are homosexuals, alcoholics, drug addicts. There are all kinds of real serious problems out there. And if you don't know how to help a person, don't spend a lot of time trying. Just lift your hand like this, and a supervisor will come over and ask if they can help. And you can introduce them to the person and say, well, I think Pastor McPhee will be able to help you with your need. And there will be pastors and trained supervisors that can deal with the special problems that the average person is not able to deal with. So we may have some, you may have some wise guy who wants to argue about whether the Bible's true, or he wants to expound on his knowledge of something. Just lift your hands if you can get a supervisor over there, and maybe the next time you get a chance to counsel somebody who's getting saved. Okay, as a closing exercise, I want you to pair off by twos, take the My Commitment folder, and share it with one another. Now, one of you might want to check block 1, and then the other can check block 2A. Okay, does everyone know what we're going to do? We're going to pair off by twos, and we're going to role play being an inquirer and a counselor. Okay, and don't take a lot of time. Just go through the major points so that you kind of get familiar with the role play. Everybody understand what we're going to do? Okay, let's pair off in twos, and when we've done that, we'll be dismissed. By the way, let me just tell you one more little thing. When it's time to counsel, one of the things we recommend is that each person take a little breath mint just to sweeten your breath. Okay? Now, there's a reason for that. And that is that, you know, bad breath is bad news, and the worst part is you don't know when you have it. Okay? So be sure and take a little breath mint with you and to sweeten your breath, and then you won't take a chance on being offensive, okay? So, don't be intimidated tonight. Go ahead and share with your friends. But when you counsel, be sure and use a breath mint.